Have you ever wondered how to create real change in your life? To try new things and really live again? Take it from today's guest. It takes time. And it's okay to say, I don't know how. I need help. From the SkyTerra Wellness Retreat, this is the Inspired Intentions Podcast, where we help people build the skills and mindset to live a healthy life. I'm your executive producer, Alan Broyhill, and in today's main segment, Jeff Ford leads an emotional, heartfelt conversation with the SkyTerra legend, Margie. Hear all about the steps Margie has taken on her wellness journey, and even a few tips and tricks for you. But first, we have a listener Q&A for our fitness director, Mitchell. Hey, Mitchell.
Hey, what's up, Alan?
Not much, man. Thanks for coming on again.
I always love being on.
Listeners, you don't know this, but I always just pop in Mitchell's office and be like, hey, man, you got 10 minutes? I got a question for you. He's like always up for the game.
I try to deliver.
Every time. So today's question comes from a listener who emailed in with the goal of building muscle. Great goal. And they were curious about rest time in between sets of strength training movements. How long should they rest for? Should they rest at all? And what's this whole idea of a superset?
Mm.
You got something for us, man?
The million-dollar mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So just to start off, I think if your goal is to build muscle, number one, you need a weight that's challenging for you. And so that's going to really dictate your rest time. So good rule of thumb is the more challenging the weight is, the longer rest period you should take between sets. So for example, if you are shooting for three sets of 10 repetitions on a squat, that first 10 repetitions, one, you should feel like you really challenge yourself by that 9th, 10th rep.
Okay.
And minimum, I would say 30 seconds rest. Okay. This is just a nice opportunity for you to get your heart rate back down and let your muscles recover a bit so that next set of 10 squats, you can hit it with that same intensity that your first set went. Okay, so minimum 30, I'd say you can take it all the way up to 60, 90 seconds. You know, take a full minute and a half if you need, if that's what your body needs.
Oh, well, okay.
As opposed to, you know, if you're going for three sets of 10 on squats and you just get done with that first 10, maybe wait 5 seconds, go right into the next, wait 5 seconds and do another. That's basically one big set of 30 squats in a row. While, yes, that's awesome for muscular endurance, but if your goal is to really build muscle, you definitely want challenging weights with at least, again, 30 to 90 seconds of rest in between, I would say.
Gotcha. And I would say this question is probably pretty specific to a listener who's working out solo.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're doing squats with a partner and they're cycling in, that rest time's built in automatically.
Built in, yeah, it's great.
I would say, and this is what we were kind of talking about before, that sometimes when you're working out solo, it's hard to just sit there for a minute.
Oh, my gosh. I do think that's a issue that a lot of our guests struggle with as well. It's like, you know, I'm by myself, only have 30 minutes. I should just go. More is better. When in reality, that rest time is really when the magic happens. You know, that's if you don't take that rest, your body's not going to be able to keep up that same intensity throughout the workout. So, you know, give your body the rest it needs for the workout.
Gotcha. And so I guess the second part of the question is, what is a superset? What's this whole superset idea?
Superset. This is a very great way and very time-efficient way to get in a workout. So all a superset is you're doing one movement or one exercise, take that 30-second rest if you need, and then followed up with just another movement or exercise. So for example, sticking with the squat, you might go to a barbell or a dumbbell squat for 10 reps, take 30 seconds off, and then go right into a reverse lunge, alternating reverse lunges, 10 per side. So that's going to be really a really big leg pump, if you will. So it's going to really juice up the legs during that superset.
Yeah.
But after that second movement, you might take a longer rest, 60, 90 seconds, maybe even 2 minutes, then do it again. Squats, 30 seconds rest, reverse lunges, 2 minutes rest.
So it sounds like a superset is just stacking more movements together.
Exactly.
And adding a little bit more rest in there is also important.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I know personally a lot of people, when they superset, they try and almost do zero rest in between movement A, movement B, and movement C.
Yeah. And I think supersets, there's definitely some gray area there where you can get away with that for sure. And it's really challenging on the body. But with supersets, I think another good way to go about it is See, we're setting upper body movement with a lower body movement. That way you're not taxing one part of your body so hard at once, unless that's your goal. That's what you're going after.
Gotcha. I think that's super clear. Well, thanks for popping in here and answering that, man. Do you feel like we did a good job?
I think so. You know, if they he or she has another question, please email me or send it back to the podcast line.
Yeah, if you are a listener out there and you feel like you have a question that is right for the Inspired Intentions podcast, email me or Mitchell at inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. And who knows, you might just get your question answered right here on the podcast by one of our professionals. And now, over to Jeff for the main portion of the show.
Welcome, listeners. I hope you are ready for this episode, because it might just be the best episode ever, because we are joined today with a SkyTerra legend, Margie. What's up, Margie?
Wow. Now, I love that, of course. Not, what's up? I'm just honored to be here.
Well, welcome to the podcast. This is long overdue. I am surprised that Margie was not our first phone call to drag down here into the booth. And I'm so grateful we have this time today to tell the world about your story.
And actually, I was a little surprised as well. That
were you? Were you? Yeah. Yeah, you were probably just, you were waiting,
I know.
Right?
I'm like, wait, well, you had to perfect it.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't That's want right. to bring the legend on until we felt like we could portray you in the way that you deserve.
I fully understand that, and I accept that.
I love it. Well, Margie, we're going to dive in, and I know a lot of our listeners who tune in each week, they actually know who you are. They've probably come across you during a visit here. Could you share with our listeners how many times you have been to SkyTerra Wellness?
Well, actually, I just learned this because I kind of lost count, but I've been here 27 times. I just learned that on Sunday.
27 times. So this is 27 this, separate trips to
yes,
SkyTerra.
Yes.
Wow. How does 27, that feel?
It feels like I've spent quite a bit of money.
Well said.
But it feels like coming home. Yeah. As it kind of sounds corny, but it does. This is my second home. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, speaking on behalf of the staff, I think we all feel the same way, and it's always a joy when you are on campus. So let's jump right into kind of your story and how you first decided to come to SkyTerra in the first place.
Okay. Well, I am a recovering alcoholic. I got sober. My sobriety date is April 30th, 2015.
Ooh, ooh.
And I had struggled with that part. I had tried to get sober before, and I knew to do it, I was going to have to go all in. So I went all in, meetings, diving in, spending my time around other sober people and everything. But I didn't. That was the only thing I was working on. Mm-hmm. So I ate quite a bit of sugar, was very sedentary, but I needed to really get it. I needed to be sober and stay sober. Unfortunately, the first 2 years of my sobriety, I actually became diabetic. I developed high blood pressure because I had gained so much weight. I gained probably about 45 pounds. But my doctor even said, hey, that's okay. We'll deal with the other stuff later. You know, you need to really focus on your sobriety.
That's great to hear that was his advice or her advice.
Yes.
To just focus on the sobriety.
Yes. Yeah. And then after a year of sobriety is when she started saying, as my A1C is going up.
Yeah.
And she started saying, we need to start looking into ways to change this.
Okay. Were you at pre-diabetes?
No, I was
at that time?
Before I mm-hmm. quit drinking, I was, my A1C was like 5.8, 5.9. So yeah.
Okay.
Probably pre, but I went up to 7.8.
Okay.
And was on 2. Metformin. She started me on 1, but my A1C continued to rise. And so I think I hit 7.8 and was on 2 metformin a day.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of looked into diets and things like that. I think I looked into Weight Watchers maybe and something like that. But a friend of mine who I actually met through my sobriety journey, said, you know what, I think we should go to a fat farm.
Those were the words that were used.
We need to go to a fat farm.
Yeah.
And go down there, like find some place where you go for a week, lose 20 pounds, come home, and we're fixed. And we can live the rest of our life. And actually, even though that sounds kind of joking, that is kind of what we thought we were looking at.
Understood.
Is just, you know, come down here and have a drill sergeant and eat some lettuce. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we flew the first time and we both decided that we were going to rent a car rather than have you guys pick us up.
Oh, really?
Because we were afraid, you know, and they kept telling us, don't spend money on renting a car. Yeah. We'll pick you up.
Yeah.
And we're like, we don't like it. We're out of there. So we had a getaway.
You needed a emergency preparedness plan with car, huh?
We did.
Interesting. So it was you diving in, wanting to come to a place that you thought would be, hey, we're going to lose 20 pounds, we're going to eat pretty restrictively, and our life is basically going to be changed in a week.
Absolutely. And we can go back home and live like we were living.
Mm.
But it's fixed because we came down here.
Because we spent a week and we...
Exactly. And we might have to do it a couple times a year maybe, but, you know, no pain.
Yeah. So that was the perspective coming in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So overall, you started searching out a wellness retreat because as you focused on your sobriety, these other habits of eating sugar, not taking care of your body in the same way previously was starting to show up.
Correct. It was, I also was smoking. So I started eating way more sugar. I was always a little bit more conscious of it before, because of weight, I guess. It didn't matter. I was drinking a lot. But I started smoking more. I didn't smoke near as much. It's like that whack-a-mole thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I really needed to take care of the sobriety. So everything else that was bad or whatever you want to call it, all my other coping mechanisms just were off of the charts.
Yeah. And I think a lot of our listeners can relate. I can relate that sometimes when we focus on one new thing that is the priority, some of those other balls can start to drop or other things can show up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what was going on. And it was okay because I needed to do that.
Yeah.
But then it was like, okay, enough. Let's just stop focusing on just not drinking and let's start focusing on getting healthy.
I love that perspective. It sounds like you got to a place with the diabetes scare of like, hey, it's time to focus on being healthy and including some of these other things in your journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So thanks for the backstory. I appreciate your vulnerability sharing the habits that showed up. I'm wondering, what was that first experience like here? You thought it was going to be lose 20 pounds, eat some lettuce, go back home, and then come back once or twice a year and everything be good. What did you start to uncover during that very first day?
Wow. Okay.
Taking you back, right?
Yeah, I am. Well, it's a lot smaller then, you know, and it was... I was amazed by, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, maybe the honest compassion and the honest desire of the staff to really, really want people to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't fake. It was honest. And it was just different things like the lectures, the whoever was giving a lecture was making eye contact, making sure everybody was listening. And if you had questions and if you were going to try an exercise, there was always modifications. And there was encouragement, but it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
It was honest encouragement.
It sounds like you felt the authenticity of...
That's the word I'm looking for. It was very authentic. It was, I remember probably about, now this wasn't the first week, but probably the second or third time I was down here, they were offering paddle boarding. Mm-hmm. And I am the kind of person that just does not want to do something unless I know how to do it, because what if other people think I look weird, or what if I get embarrassed, or I won't be any good, and I want to be good right away. And I'm aware of that. I guess that's good.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that was
social anxiety
around
trying new things.
And I thought, well, I'm not, I don't need to do that. You know, I don't need to do that. And the instructor, you know, she just said, come on. Let's just not in a mean way, not and it wasn't condescending.
Way.
It wasn't like, oh, I'll help you. I can't explain it. It was just a genuine, you know what? I really want you to experience this and I want you to enjoy it. And I even have a picture on my Facebook post of standing up on the paddleboard because it was so moving for me to be able to do that. And that is what I found. And I also found when I came down here, of course I wanted to do it perfect because I am an all or nothing and I'm a perfectionist and all those things that comes along with alcoholism, I think.
Yeah.
And somebody would mention a piece of equipment or a book or something during the lecture, and I'd have my phone out ordering from Amazon. I need this. I need this.
Just when rapid fire every
exactly.
day.
I mean, I had TRX things coming to my house. I have no place. I have a 100-year-old home. I have no place to put this.
But you were buying them anyways.
It was coming to my house. You never know. I had weights. I had books. I mean, it was crazy. But the last day during the homegoing thing, and they explained to you, we don't want you to be all or nothing. This is a lot of information. But you need to focus on 1, 2, 3 maybe areas. You know, you don't have to go home and start running a marathon. You don't have to go home and, you know, start cooking gourmet, low, healthy, you know, food and all that stuff. You don't have to do that. You just have to move. And, you know, the big component for me was my sleep. And I had no clue that that had anything to do with any kind of health, fitness, weight loss. I had no clue.
Wasn't even on your radar?
Nope, no clue. I thought, oh, well, I'm not sleeping real well. That's just part of who I am. And, you know, so I've taken that sleep class a lot. But it's funny, when I went home, I finally, my things were, I'm going to sleep. That was my number one.
Now, was the sleep like at a new specific time?
Yes.
Is that kind of how you laid it out?
What
you
I
got
was
the timing
doing,
back?
Yes. What I was doing at home was, I go to bed at 11, 12, maybe later, had a heck of a time falling asleep. So I'd toss and turn, maybe get back up, smoke a couple cigarettes, eat a couple bags of Oreos, whatever, go back to sleep, and my alarm would go off at 8 o'clock, and I'd think, nope. And I'd
so you just blow past
set
it
off
on
and,
the day.
And I'd wake up at 11, 10, 11.
Yeah.
And I don't know the number of hours I was sleeping, but it certainly was not quality, not one bit. And after going to the sleep lecture, I realized I got to set a routine. So that's the first thing I did when I went home. I set my alarm for 6 o'clock every morning.
Awesome.
And I tried to go to bed earlier. That was hard. But the first thing, I set my alarm and I got up and walked every morning. Now,
so you kind of paired those two new routines.
That's what I did,
together.
And that was my, those were my things that
I
did when I went home the first time.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing a few things from those earlier experiences at SkyTerra where, number one, you did something that you were really ambivalent about doing.
Yes.
And that experience to this day makes you, I think, feel very proud and empowered that you can do more experiences like that.
Yes.
The paddleboard is what I was referring to. And then second, just those two new habits of moving at that specific time and then the sleep schedule. These were kind of some of those main themes that you plugged into your life right away, huh?
Yes, yes.
Okay, very cool.
Hello, Inspired Intentions listeners. You, our loyal podcast listeners, are some of the very first people to hear about our brand new specialty week, Pickleball Week, of course. Pickleball Week will be held October 2nd through October 9th of this year and will be offered to 12 guests only. If you are one of the 12 guests who attend Pickleball Week, on top of the regular Skytera Wellness Reset program, you'll receive 15 hours of instruction with two pickleball experts, and you'll finish your week with a pickleball tournament and a Skytera-style celebration, which means you'll feel celebrated and loved, of course. Come play on our brand new courts and find out firsthand why pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the United States. Open to all levels, including beginners. Give us a call at 828-527-0152 or visit skyterrawellness.com to book your stay. Now, back to the show.
Well, let's jump into kind of like the real world and, you know, your continued journey of living a healthy lifestyle. Could we start with what routines you're proud of that you have implemented and made a part of your life to this very day?
Yes, I would love to. And let me just preface this by some of the things that I'm getting ready to say, I can't believe are even coming out of my mouth. The fact that I love to lift weights. And people that know me hear that and it's like, what? Okay, so I just needed to say that. So some of the stuff that I'm going to be saying are going to be like, what? But it's true. I get up at the same time every day. I go to bed. Well, first of all, I go to bed. I am in bed by 9.
That's so cool.
By 9.
Yeah.
All the things are turned off. And, you know, I read a little bit, a book, and then I am in bed and I get up at between 6 and 7. I'll share this. I just recently quit smoking 3 months ago. And so my bedtime is actually, or my waking up time, I have another hour. I don't have to get up so early, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So when I say 6 or 7,
because that habit is at bay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I walk every single day. Almost. I mean, I'm going to say every day. I walk on my treadmill for 30 minutes before breakfast every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And just regular pace, nothing too intense.
Yeah,
just steady.
It's just the low impact, the low cardio.
Yep.
And that's the only time, my rule is, that's the only time I can binge Netflix or any of that stuff. It is. I do not watch it upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be on the, and there have been times, I'm not going to lie, I've stayed on the treadmill for a long time because I want to see what's happening.
Yeah. Intriguing episodes.
And yeah, now then I eat breakfast afterwards. And that was another habit I had to have because I didn't eat breakfast before.
Mm-hmm.
So I eat breakfast and I work out at a gym, lifting weights 3 times a week and doing high intensity interval once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what I garden all the time, but my biggest change that is the cooking and the meal planning.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. And I worked with our dietitian, who you might know.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
Yes. And I did several I did one of those at home coaching with her.
Yeah, you did some one-on-one coaching for quite some time. And
yes.
I think that that is when the cooking and the nutrition
absolutely that's
seemed
when it all
to make,
fell into
yeah,
place.
Make some solid progress.
Yes.
What's it look like now with the nutrition?
Okay,
and
this
cooking?
Is what amazes me, because this is, my mind says, like, I would hear at the lecture, because I listened to Lindsay's Nutrition Redefined so many times, and I would hear that if you want to eat healthy, you need to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have to be gourmet. And I'd think, not me.
Who's she talking to?
Exactly. I'm fine. Don't need that.
Yeah.
And that's who I am. I do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I think I told you at one point, you know, it's kind of that contempt prior to investigation thing.
Yep.
That's not going to work. Maybe that's good for other people, but not for me.
Before kind of giving it a chance.
Absolutely.
The self-talk comes in of like, that's not for me.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I think part of the reason I do go to the lectures so many times, because I've heard a lot of them a lot, is because I do hear different things, or I hear something differently than I heard before. It fits in my ear better.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I started working with Lindsay with the at-home coaching, and she helped me with meal prep. And she even let me go to the extreme. She knew I was doing it. I mean, I'd come home Sunday and make all these proteins and roast all these vegetables and blanch this, and my kitchen was crazy. And, you know, then I would check in with her that week, and I had pictures of my kitchen, and she'd say, well, now don't, you could make it a little simpler. Let's, you know, but she let me experience it. She let me go there.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned what I can do.
Yeah. And I think to echo what you're saying is it sounds like the relationship you had with Lindsay allowed you to experiment.
Yes.
And to have autonomy in the process of cooking and changing up your nutrition. And it's just such an important point to highlight with change. You were in the driver's seat of these changes. And especially when you share that kind of contempt, self-talk, that's not going to work for me. It's almost like until you were able to be in it and do these things like the movement, the strength training, the nutrition, and find your way, that's when it started to become kind of habit and something you wanted to do.
Well, and I'll tell you another big piece of it, for me anyway, is that I had to become humble, which is kind of hard for me.
I can't relate, Margie.
No,
at all.
I'm sure you can't.
Yeah, no, we're similar.
I had to be able to say, okay, I'll just share this. I never ate avocados because I didn't know how to cut one.
Mm.
And I was afraid to ask because that is really sad. But, you know, I'm 66 years old. I can't ask. I can't ask what's this fruit or what's. Yeah. And you know what? It was when Lindsay, because when I came the first time, it was a different dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lindsay came, I still was afraid to ask anybody. And I just said, how do you cut an avocado? She's like, oh, we go in the kitchen. She gets one. So when I went home, I actually videotaped myself cutting one and sent it to her. I did it. You know, it was. And now I'm not afraid to ask. And she told me, she goes, ask me anything. So I could say, what's parchment paper? I didn't know what it was. I had no clue. And it had it for a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, it was so nice having somebody that I could ask those questions to.
And it sounds like you put your ego aside and you got comfortable asking for support and asking for how do I develop these skills? Because you genuinely wanted to improve them.
Right. And that it was difficult for me, but now it made me realize if I want to change, if I want to learn, I have to be open and I have to say, I don't know how to do it.
Let's hold up for just one moment. Total mic drop moment. What I heard you say is, if I want to change, I have to admit that I don't know how to do it. And I just like holding some space there because it can be scary to, you know, think we can ask for help. And what I'm really hearing you kind of portray is you got to this place where, you know, it was okay to become open and to learn. And I mean, I think that's really powerful.
Well, it's against what my nature, I'd like to say, was. Mm-hmm. I like to say, you know, but that's
against your identity almost.
Yeah, well, that, because the ego thing kind of keeps popping up. But
always, always.
In order, I just know, and to be able to have somebody, which the staff here at SkyTerra are those people, that you feel very comfortable coming to them. You know, because there are some people that are experts in things or know how to do something that are not exactly opening, like wanting you to ask them questions.
Their bedside manner may not be the best.
That's it. Mm-hmm. But here it's like, oh, ask anything. And I've asked some, I've had guests next to me say, what, you don't know that? You know, and it's like, Nope.
I don't.
I mean, I'll own it. Yeah. I did not cook growing up. I didn't know any of that. I was never in the kitchen. I didn't do any of that. And now, you know, how am I going to learn? Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah, by asking for help and by doing it and by owning it. I mean, you put it really well, and I think your entire story highlights this, is you started to own your activity, own your sleep schedule, and own, like, learning the skills it's going to take to prepare these healthy meals.
Right.
Cool. Well, so far we've covered the struggles that showed up for you and why you seeked out SkyTerra, a wellness retreat in the first place. We've now gone through quite a few of the routines that are now a part of your life. One quick question, and then I want to give you space, Margie, to give some tips to our listeners, because you've been on this journey, you continue on this journey, and I think you have a lot of great perspective to allow folks at home some ideas on appropriate actions. So before we get there, tell me a bit more about the community that you do experience outside of the staff, the community that you do experience when you're at SkyTerra.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I came down the first time, I noticed we had the person here that I think she was the psychologist or something, mm-hmm. and she had us doing a journal every night and writing down the three things that brought us joy. And I noticed right away that my things that were bringing me joy were, I'd say, oh, I laughed with so-and-so today, or had a long talk with so-and-so, or, you know, connected with, and that's what all my things were.
That's wild.
And it's like, what? You know, because I always thought I was a really social person. Mm-hmm. Now, the 2 years prior to coming here, I did spend a lot of time with my sobriety community. But that's what it was focused on, mm-hmm. and it was very good, and I needed it, but I needed to laugh, and I needed to connect, and I needed to be around like-minded people that wanted to change, mm-hmm. and were open to change, and were doing something about it, but people that, you know, just were lighthearted, yet, and I think the whole atmosphere down here lends itself to getting into some really deep conversations very quickly, because there's so many things yeah. that are going on and so many things that bring people here. Mm-hmm. There's some pain and trauma, and there's usually some sort of a change, no matter what it is. You know, something has happened and that person wants to be better.
Yeah.
And I love it when someone's willing to share that with me. I've made some friends that were maybe just for the week that I was down here. I've made some lifelong friends that I connect with all the time. And, you know, it's almost like on Sundays when I come during orientation, I'm kind of scoping out the room.
Are you?
Yeah. Who's it going to be, you know? And but now it's like there's always people who've been here before. So there, I know whether.
And there's usually always someone who recognizes you. Because yeah. you're the legend.
You're Margie.
I know. That's the running phrase now. Well, man, I think the way you've highlighted the community just does speak to one of the intangibles of the environment here. And I think it's pretty cool that you discovered that you were focusing more on the connection with people even during your time in these short stays.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Margie. So we need some legend inspiration here today.
Okay.
For those out there connecting with your story, what would be like top three tips that you would have for them today?
Okay. This is based on where I am right now.
I love it.
And I'll tell you. Okay. So I had attempted to quit smoking probably about 3 years ago. If you ever look at the website, you'll see I'm on there saying, I just quit smoking. But I did not then. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is what I think. For me, a big thing is forgive yourself for where you are. You don't learn unless you make mistakes. And the mistakes, it's how you grow. And keep getting up. Currently, I'm 3 months out from smoking. I've put on some weight, and I don't like it. But I know that's why I'm down here for 2 weeks this time. Mm-hmm. There's a habit that I've developed at home, and Lindsay and I have kind of joked.
You've
developed
on it.
A skinny pop. Addiction now.
Yeah.
It's like instead of eating
the popcorn,
skinny pop. Instead of smoking,
mm-hmm.
And it's all, so, and I've taught, and I felt, I knew I could talk to Lindsay about it. I knew, you know. And
well, you
and
just talked to the 40,000 listeners we have too, which is so great.
Anyway, but it is. It's this big. I am actually seriously down here for 2 weeks because I need to change that habit. And I know I need a different environment. And so I usually just stay a week at a time. And so that's, I'm not happy about it, but I'm down here. And I want to change it, and I know these are the people to help me. So that's my biggest thing is, you know what, come down, ease into it. Like, pick one or two things. It's so, you know, at least with me, I was so out of where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So I was overweight, high blood pressure, which I'm not even on blood pressure meds
that's
now.
That's awesome.
I'm only on one metformin, but I had so much I needed to change and so much I wanted to change. And I wanted it overnight. And first of all, realize it's going to take time and realize that if you don't know, you don't know. You got to ask. But my biggest thing is just keep getting back up. That's my biggest thing.
Don't stop.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you learn the hard way a lot of times. And you know, don't be all or nothing. That's another thing.
Yeah,
you know, if
yeah.
you don't feel like working out one day, if you need a rest day, that's okay. Now, if it turns into 2, 3, 4 days, there's a problem. You need to, you know, don't be unrealistic that way. But, you know, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. And yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. And to kind of summarize, because there's a lot of nuggets in there for our listeners. Number one, I heard, forgive yourself for where you're at today. Secondly, remember that learning comes when you make mistakes, and that's the beauty of making mistakes. And then finally, we were just on it, just keep getting up. Living healthy, you know, chipping away at your habits, it's always going to be something that's a process.
Yeah.
All right, Margie. Well, I have enjoyed my time with the legend. What would you like our listeners to remember? Give us the one-liner.
This is not a one-liner, but this is a story that I didn't... This is just something I have to say. We had an alumni week down here, the very first one that we have, you know, that ever that there was. And it was right after COVID and everything, and it was a small group. Anyway, we did some things down here, and I have never laughed so hard in my life about some of the silly things. We had one contest where you had to have your hands behind your back and go into the kitchen and drink from a straw, drink a cup of water. It was a race, you know, and it was, I never laughed so hard. And I realized, you know, we had a survivor type of thing that we did where somebody had to paddle across the lake and get fire, the stuff to make a fire and come back. And we're all screaming and yelling. And I'm thinking, I looked up, it was a beautiful day, and I was surrounded by people I really care about. And I thought, I am need to laugh like this. I need to live. I need to, this is living. And what I was doing before, when I first started on my sobriety journey, was just not drinking. And SkyTerra made me live again. SkyTerra gave me my life back and gave me confidence to try new things and realize I was missing the laughter and the joy, the true joy of life. And that's what I get from here. And it's priceless.
Wow. So not a one-liner. Let me sum it up for you, because I'm so glad you brought that in to kind of polish things off today, because it's important that when we work on our behaviors to still have fun and to remember to live our life. And so Margie's words, not mine, live and laugh and experience true joy.
Yes. Says it well.
Outstanding. Well, We are at the end of our time. Margie, on behalf of the entire SkyTerra team, thank you for the 27 stays and keeping us stable throughout our entire existence. It is honestly a pleasure to have you every time you're on campus. I know the smiles that our staff have are always unique and there when we know you're arriving on Sunday. And just congratulations on all the habits you have forged, all the behaviors that have become a part of your life, because you have continued to get up and create the life that you truly want to live.
Well, thank you. And I've enjoyed doing it here at SkyTerra.
All right, listeners, stay with us for our 5-minute focus. Today's topic is about how to get off the treadmill. Have you ever felt like your feet are constantly moving while your mind is getting left behind? If you are like most people, you might be balancing a job and taking care of a family or a loved one. You wake up faced with endless responsibilities and demands on your time, which leaves you feeling depleted. Day after day, it feels like you are on a treadmill. The analogy is simple. In all my years of leading fitness classes, I've never had someone in an enthusiastic manner come up to me and say, "Jeff, I love the treadmill." Now, there is a few of you out there who don't mind it, but not minding something is no way to live. For every single one of us, we have months where we feel like we just can't get off of the treadmill. For every single one of us, we desperately fight and try to stop the machine, but it just keeps going. For every single one of us, we want to get off of the treadmill, but sometimes just don't know how and have lost the confidence to do so. Wherever you are today, it's important to evaluate why your feet are constantly moving and decide it's time to get off the treadmill. You deserve to start focusing on your life and not on everything or everybody else. The first step is to give yourself permission, because half of the battle is recognizing that you are worth it. Week after week, guests arrive at SkyTerra, and I can tell you that I see them finally getting off of their treadmill. They've come to a place where it is a must to move in a new direction, and making a change is no longer an option because they are ready for it. That's the second step. You have to be ready to get off the treadmill. Oftentimes, we find comfort in the way we've been going because for so long, it's all we have ever known. You get used to the pace and the intensity of how you've lived, but you come to a place where you are finally ready. Getting off becomes more important than staying on. Now, it is one thing to get off the treadmill for a moment, but how do you stay off of it? How do you keep yourself from stepping back on? In my experience and decade of working with guests, I figured out there's no easy answer. And your answer won't be the same as anyone else's. What I do know is that you have to figure out what you are missing out on every time you step on that treadmill. What are you giving up? What deserves your time? As human beings, none of us like to miss out on anything. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. What I want you to do today is to remove the fear, get off of the treadmill, and live the life you were meant to live.
Alan here again. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you for joining us here today. I hope you enjoyed our main segment with SkyTerra guest Margie, the legend, one of my favorite SkyTerra guests, and we can't thank her enough for coming on and sharing her story. And because I get to do the outro this week, I wanted to reverse the special shout out to go out to all the behind the scenes crew that helped put the podcast together: Rachel Colasino, Patrick Davis, Avery Campbell, and of course, we couldn't do it without our host, Jeff Ford. And we look forward to having you join us next week, where we cut through the unrealistic noise in diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.